So this story that Jill read to us about seeds and harvesting and reaping is something that has been a good companion for me for the last couple years. And it's a mystery. And like all mysteries, it continues to unfold more and more to us. And so tonight I'm going to share a little bit about how this mystery of fields and seeds has been teaching me, knowing that more and more will continue to unfold. And it feels like a fitting time to think about seeds and fields, because here in Austin, where we are in the Northern Hemisphere, it's a time of harvest. I harvested some zinnia seeds out of my plants this week to save them for next year's planting. And this time of year also marks a holiday that comes up next week, the Day of the Dead. And I didn't know about this holiday until I'd moved to Texas 11 years ago. It comes from our neighbors who live south of us in Mexico. And it's this beautiful honoring of all of those who've come before us, of our beloved dead who are living on the other side of the veil. And there's a children's movie about this holiday, Coco. I don't know if any of you have seen it, but I watch it about every year, this time of the year. And it's a story about this holiday, the Day of the Dead, and of a young boy who's trying to make sense of his family. And there's this family secret, and I won't reveal how the story ends, because if you haven't seen it, it's really worth watching. But at the end of this movie, the filmmakers who created it, they create this montage. I watched it in the theater for the first time, and the theater just fills up with all these images from the filmmakers, so the cartoonists and the directors and the producers. They fill the screen with pictures of their ancestors, all the ones who have given them the gift of life and nurtured the gifts that they have. And when I watched this film in the movie theater, I was already cracked open by the movie, and I just cried and cried, because it's this bouquet of gratitude, and it created this sense of wonder and awe for all of those who come before us and how they nurture and support us and give us the gift of life. Now, in the Christian tradition, we have this saying, the communion of saints, and this lineage that we rest and lean into. And we have in that lineage, there might be spiritual figures that have nurtured us, or people that, for example, created this church, people whose teachings and whose lives have fed us and continue to feed us, even though they might not be still here living with us. They've left a perfume. They've planted something in the field that we continue to receive. And so we are both on the receiving end of so much that's coming towards us from this field of both our breath and our life, our gifts. And we're also ancestors ourselves. And here in our lives, we have the opportunity to seed something in the field. So my neighbor, Cindy, about 2 years ago, she gave me this tiny little pot. It was about, the plant was this big, and it was actually a peach tree that she had grown from seed from a peach pit. And she gave us two of them, and this was at the start of the pandemic, and we planted them. And we have watered those trees. You need to do that in Texas. And at night, I go and I sing songs to these trees. And our dogs, of course, they offer their own form of nourishment, some good manure for the trees. And those trees are now 7 feet tall. They're taller than I am 2 years later. And actually, we had our first tiny peach. It was so wee. It was about this big. And the squirrels didn't get it. We got to eat it. But in truth, most of those peaches we won't be eating. And when I planted them, one of my children asked me, "Mom, why are you planting these peach trees here? You're never going to eat the peaches from them." But what I said was, it is good and it is fitting for us to plant something in the soil that we won't personally benefit from. Because in truth, when our hearts open and we become aware of all that we are on the receiving end of, all the love and care in every moment that's coming from beings in this world, beings who are no longer in this world, the mercy that surrounds us with every breath. In my life, when I have felt just a small portion of that magnitude, it's like staring at the sun. It's so bright. It's just overwhelming. And I just cry and weep because my heart is so overflowing with gratitude for all that I've been given. So some days I go out and visit my peach trees and I wonder about who's going to be living in my house and who might eat from those peach trees, and I hope they enjoy them, and I hope their chins the peach juice just drips off their chins and they make pies and they make jam or however they want to feast on those peaches. Because I have been blessed by so many trees that others have planted and that I have reaped those harvests. So families are complex and lineages are complex because our families are both this place where we receive so much love and support, but they're also places where we can have so much wounding. And that's true whether we're talking about our own personal families or our spiritual families, the human community, this shared human life that we share. And so in this verse, when you're talking about different seeds, there's this idea of there is something that you harvest and something that is burnt, and what are the weeds and what are the seeds? And in my own life, I've found that intertwining is, there's such a powerful alchemy that it is often hard to see, well, what is the weed? And some things that I thought were weeds have turned out to bear such incredible fruit. So there's this way that we're being asked to kind of look again and look again and look again, to open the eye of our heart and to wonder, what is really here in this field for us? What do we find there? And in the same way that we might plant peach trees or flowers that those behind us get to enjoy, in these places where we've received wounding, perhaps these places of heartbreak in our lives, for we all have them, that these are fields of opportunity where we can plant seeds or we can bring in those qualities of the divine. It's the very place where we might suffer. Perhaps it's the very place where we think there's a weed, where there's a lot of compost. And we can water those seeds. Seeds, when they're planted, have to be cracked open to germinate. They have to be moist. They have to be softened. And these cracked open seeds, when I bow my head and feel those places in my life where I most feel like I've failed, where I most feel like I've let God down or I've fallen short, or perhaps those places where I've most been wounded by another, that is the place that is so ripe. It has such fecundity. It has such... That is the place where the heart cracks open and something can be born. And here's a thought that my friend Holly shared with me that has left me in awe. She told me once, she said, that very place where we suffer, that very place where perhaps we feel most separate from love, she said, when I open to that place, and as I pray and ask for that place to be flooded with compassion, may mercy come to this place. May patience come to this place. May courage, may strength, whatever form of that divine love that this place needs, when we open and allow that place to be fed by all these qualities, that anyone else who finds themselves in that same place, they are also fed by that same nourishment. And in this way, we are planting those trees that become places of refuge for others. In the parable that Jill read, there's a following parable that follows it, and it says, the kingdom of heaven is like a seed that a woman came and planted in her garden, and it grew and it grew, and the birds of the air came and nested in its branches. So as a shared part of this human family, we have this opportunity to both be on the receiving end of all this care that is coming towards us. And we also have this opportunity to, in the very place where we might feel like we're filled with weeds, that is the place where we can tend the garden. We can be a faithful gardener. So anyone else who finds themselves in that same similar waters, they can be fed and be fed and be fed and find refuge. So I've got a few more things that I wanted to share, and what I thought we could do is practice this together, because it's one thing to talk about it, but to actually feel it in our bodies and in our hearts and in our breath. And so the last story I want to tell you is rather a teaching that comes from someone else who lives in Austin, and that's Kristen Neff, who's researched self-compassion. And one of the qualities of self-compassion that she says is this particular flavor of love, is this sense of others feel this too. That when we approach these places in our lives where we feel that, ouch, that if we can remember, oh, I'm not alone in this, others feel this too. This is part of our shared common humanity. It's not personal to me. That in that moment, we feel a part of that collective humanity, and that sense of separation, and that sense of falling short, and that sense of self-judgment softens. In that place of self-compassion, we might find a prayer or a wish. May this suffering deepen my compassion. May it deepen my compassion for myself and for others. The root of the word for suffering and fertile come from the same word. It's the same word that means to birth, and it means to bear or to carry. So out of these places of suffering, things are born. Perhaps it's how the kingdom of heaven comes to be born in the world. So I have a few poems that I want to read to you that speak to me, because sometimes these concepts, they're so, we may not have words for them, but it helps to feel them in our hearts and in our bodies. And what I'm going to invite you to do is you can close your eyes if you like, and maybe think of a place in your life where you feel like you're just choked with weeds. Some place in your life where you feel like perhaps you've fallen short, or some place where you feel separate from love. It might be an addiction. It might be a relationship where you struggle. It might be about your work or your vocation. It might be some place in the world where that suffering fills you with confusion and longing for healing. And maybe take a moment to connect with this place in your body and to notice what you feel, and even notice where it lives in your body. I feel it coiled right underneath my lungs, right in my belly. And what if this place where perhaps you feel alone, or where perhaps you feel like you've fallen short. Can you feel in this place that, ouch, may I be kind to this suffering? Others feel this too. I'm not alone in this suffering. May this suffering deepen my compassion. And perhaps you can feel all those ancestors, all those who have been in this same field, who know this particular pain. Can you feel their love and support? Can you feel all that they have planted in the field before you, this shared field of compassion? Can you feel their prayers and their wishes for healing? Perhaps someone you never even knew, you were not even a twinkle in their eye, and their prayer has come to find you. And perhaps while you're sitting with this place in your own body, in your own nervous system, you can think of others who also know this same place. Perhaps others who know this particular pain well, and you can offer that compassion or that patience or that strength or that courage, whatever form of love this place is needing, light, connection, healing, forgiveness. You can imagine that you are planting in this field all these qualities where all can be fed by them. And I'm going to read you three very short poems. The first one is called Bless the Torn. It's by Eileen Moeller. She says, bless the torn part of each day, the ruptures in us that caused it to tear where it did. Bless the green heart of each rupture, the small green kernel of hope saved for replanting. The second poem is from Linda Hogan, and she's a Choctaw poet who lives in Oklahoma. She says, walking, I am listening to a deeper way. Suddenly, all my ancestors are behind me. Be still, they say. Watch and listen. You are the result of the love of thousands. And the last poem comes from Rosemary Watala Traumer, Colorado poet who writes a poem a day. And this is from one of her poems this month. May we breathe this into all these places so our seeds can be watered. There are moments so flooded with tenderness, every wall around our heart collapses from the beauty of it, and we are left wet and trembling like newborns. There are moments when we are so naked, love enters us completely, shakes us from within, and wrecks us. And there, in the rubble of our defenses, we fall so deeply in love with life, with the goodness of people. We are remade. So bless your seeds. Bless this field that you're tending. Bless all the peach trees that others have planted that you are eating from. Bless every peach tree that you are planting that others will feast from. Bless all these wounds. May light enter them. And may they grow and they grow so the birds of the air can nest in their branches. Amen.